Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 26. Today's Thursday, May 9th. And I was just about to say, I hope everybody had an awesome Cinco de Mayo, but then I remembered I already did a show on Seis de Mayo. So here we are. Before we get into UFC St. Louis, let me introduce from all the way across town, Matt the Mechanic. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Bill, how's it going? I've been over here watching Eurovision.
What's on Eurovision?
That's the annual singing competition that they do in Europe, where Will Ferrell made a movie, a goofy movie, where, you know, each country puts together a band and they all go have a competition. And it was the semifinals just happened, and that's pretty weird stuff going on.
So it's a real show?
I mean, it's not like a show. It's imagine like American Idol, but for European countries and their groups. I mean, I guess some of them are single people, but it's like Ireland's contribution went out there and she performed a satanic ritual on stage, and it's getting a little weird out there.
All right. Are people just like trying to get attention at this point to stand out?
I don't know what's going on there, because I did a little bit of digging into it, and she performed a song that was hers, but I don't think she qualified with the satanic part in there. I think she threw that in there at the last minute.
All right.
It was odd. But if you want to get your head scratcher of the day, go check out Ireland's Eurovision.
Satanic rituals and singing, huh? All right. Well, I guess it's something I can look into.
Something weird. Something different.
I'm getting into some tequila tonight. Do you drink tequila at all?
You know, I have a margarita from time to time, but I have too many bad nights as a young adult to.
Yeah, you know, that's most people's problem with tequila is, you know, they in high school and college they did, you know, shots of Jose Cuervo or Patron or some terrible tequila, and it led to really bad nights. Which is unfortunate, because tequila is a really good sipping beverage. And there are some aged tequilas or añejo tequilas that are aged in barrels, and they could have similar flavor profiles to whiskey. But they're much more on the lighter side, since, you know, they're made from agave, which is basically like a sugar, instead of being made from corn or like a heavier substance like barley or wheat. So tonight I'm drinking Campo Bravo, which is an additive-free tequila, if that's your sort of thing. Tequila can be a little tricky, because even if it says 100% agave, legally they're still allowed to have up to 1% of additives, so they can put flavorings or colorings or sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, up to 1% of the volume of the container. So certain like celebrity tequilas are known for having additives, like, I don't know, chemicals and stuff. So if you want a good pure tequila that's really cheap, Campo Bravo is really good. I'm drinking it with this new Element sparkling water. It's a sparkling electrolyte water. This is actually a grapefruit flavor. And I don't like grapefruit. I don't like anything that tastes like grapefruit, but this is actually pretty delicious. They sent me like an 8-pack of these sparkling seltzers, and they have electrolytes in them. There's no sugar, so it's just sodium, potassium, and magnesium. I've been taking Element as an electrolyte supplement for many years. But they just came out with the sparkling waters, and I like them because they're not overly carbonated, and it tastes delicious in with tequila. It tastes like a margarita. So they
have like a liquid IV type thing.
Yes, but without the sugar, because liquid IV has a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, but that's a good part.
Yeah, but these still taste good without the added sugar.
All right, I'll have to check a couple of those out.
In any case, they have four flavors of the sparkling water. They have grapefruit, black cherry, lime, and I want to say raspberry. And so far, they're all really good. Little ice, little tequila. It's basically a margarita because it's salty, it's sweet, and it's got booze in it. So
I'm sipping on something new tonight. I don't. I'll have you tell me how I did. I don't think I did anything crazy.
Okay.
I picked up this today, Jefferson's.
Okay.
Because it was on sale for $16.
Well, that's a great price for that.
Yeah, I know. I've seen their aged at sea stuff, and I wanted to try gimmick. It, but really, but I figured $16. I mean, we're getting into like Jim Beam territory.
Yeah, I mean, worst case, you like whiskey and Coke, so yeah. I mean, anything for $16, you can mix with Coke and it'll taste fine. But you're drinking it straight there. What do you think about it?
Tastes good in some Coke.
Yeah, that would have been my recommendation. I've never really gotten too into their stuff. I've had a few of the expressions and just didn't do a whole lot for me. The Age at Sea stuff is just, it's straight gimmicky.
Yeah, I'm gonna rate this right now.
So you like it? I mean, give it a second chance. You know, sometimes it's just like the first pour isn't always good. You know what it depends on too? It's like whatever your last meal was can affect how something tastes to you the first time. So if you had like a really salty meal or like a really like savory meal or a real, like if you had dessert or something, that would all affect like how the next drink you have tastes.
Well, I had chili, so Jefferson's and chili doesn't go well.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. All right, let's get right into UFC St. Louis. We're gonna keep it pretty.
Before we go there, let's talk about last week. I went 2-3. Okay. Not the greatest. Only lost 20 cents. We're still up $32 or $33 for the year.
Okay.
And we still have our $100 Once Upon a Coconut Fund. But I did have a question from last week because the Jack Shore fight, you saw it happen, but does a doctor stop the fight or does a ref stop the fight?
The referee stops the fight. The doctor can only recommend that the fight be stopped. The doctor has no authority to actually stop the fight. However, I've never seen a scenario where a doctor wants to stop the fight and the referee says no. And I probably wouldn't either because I just wouldn't want that kind of liability on my hands. You know, if the doctor's saying the fight shouldn't go on, I don't want to be like, fuck you, doc. These guys have to fight. I'd be like, all right, if you say so, because everybody's going to think it's your fault anyway.
Yeah, it's a shame. I hope the refs get like 10 minutes to talk to the doctor before the night starts so they can kind of know what they're dealing with. Because, or I don't know why the commission doesn't have, I don't know.
Yeah. It depends, man. I've seen like at the local shows, it's crazy. I've sat next to the doctor while judging fights, and the doctor will be watching the fights, and then like a fighter will come from backstage that needs stitches who fought earlier, and the doctor's just right there, rubber gloves, syringe in the eye, stitching them up right there in the dark. Yeah. I'm sure it's not like that at the UFC. Well,
I'm not talking about Florida amateur fights. I'm talking about the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of doctors, and yeah, I'm sure there's a big. There's always pre-fight meetings with the officials, so that's the judges and the referees, and I'm sure the doctors are involved in that. I think like in the earlier days, it was a little different because the doctors didn't really know what was going on. Now they have doctors who know, you know, what type of injuries occur in MMA and they know what they're looking for. And, you know, leg cuts are a weird thing because if they go really deep, there's such a high risk of infection. You know, we've seen it with like Luke Rockhold, who's had to have multiple skin grafts due to infections due to a shin cut. So maybe the doctor was seeing that, like if it's going, you know, if the cut goes all the way to the bone, like there's such a higher risk of infection, especially if the fighter is going to be traveling and stuff. And I don't know if they're taking all that into consideration, but you know, it's possible the doctor looked at it and he stuck his thumb all the way in the shin or whatever. Didn't
just look at it.
Yeah.
And reached the bottom of that.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, I see your shin bone. Let's call this off because that's going to get infected. And
I think I've mentioned this before. I think Zabit should just be the official doctor for all UFC fights from here on out. That'd be the perfect guy because he's a doctor now. It'd be perfect.
He's probably. Yeah, I mean, why not? From what I understand, this is like a side gig for doctors. So, I mean, I guess if he wanted to make a few extra bucks, I don't imagine they get paid very much. But is he officially a doctor, though?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's what some reports that I'm reading right now. The Google report says yes.
That would be cool. Anyway. You know, just like people are always saying they want to have, you know, former fighters be judges and referees. And we've had a few, you know, Frank Trigg went on to become a referee and he did pretty well. Chris Lieben refereed and did some judging. And I think for the most part, he's done a pretty good job. I know he had one score that like a lot of people were talking about that was way off, but I think for the most part, he's been doing well.
Mark Fells is scary. You see his comp.
So he asks if you're enjoying the playoffs. It looks like you're enjoying Colorado versus Dallas. Can he see your TV?
No, he's looking at the reflection in this box right here.
And Mark, how can you tell what is in that reflection? I can't tell what that is. It just looks like blue light. Is that what it is? Is that what you're watching?
Yeah.
All right, he's got like another camera in your living room somewhere, I think.
I do have one more. That's odd, but the Stanley Cup playoffs are going great, actually. If making way more money betting on that than these damn fights.
Well, that's good. Who's the favorite to win the Stanley Cup?
I don't know. I just open up the app. Click the underdog, and the underdog's been doing well.
I see.
The odds are really odd, really weird in NHL.
I see the New York Rangers are still in it, right?
Yeah.
I guess if I had to say I had an NHL team, it would be the Rangers. Is Tampa still in it?
No, they lost to Florida again. It's a couple years in a row.
Well, that's a shame.
And now, the Rangers are playing Florida.
I read somewhere that the Tampa Bay Lightning is the most popular professional sports franchise in America. Is that accurate at all?
No, not even close.
Okay. This article I read said it was Tampa Bay Lightning, and I think the number two was the New York Yankees.
No. Nope.
Well, what do you think it is?
The Cowboys, Patriots, I don't know. I know if you would say the Lightning is the most popular sport in the Tampa Bay area, I would agree with that, but I don't think so, Bill.
I'm going to Google it now. Okay. Yeah, I think you were correct. According to this preliminary Google search, it's the Dallas Cowboys and New England Patriots. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man, I nailed that, huh?
Yeah, you kind of did. It's too bad we didn't bet on this. They're all football.
That's America's sport. And I don't think all the hockey teams combined might beat the Dallas Cowboys, if I'm being honest. So,
according to this website, and I don't know where they're getting their numbers from, it's just going by search volume. So that doesn't necessarily – oh, and it goes by fan attendance also. So the top eight franchises are all football teams. Number nine is an NBA franchise. Do you have a guess?
Lakers?
No.
Golden State Warriors?
Yes. I'm pretty good at this.
I know my sports ball.
I don't know anything about team sports anymore. I used to be a big New York Giants fan, and I would watch the Giants games every week, but yeah, I never got into hockey, but I used to go when I was in college. We had minor league hockey when I was living in Albany, New York, and you could get tickets like right up against the glass for $8. And it's minor league, so there was always fights.
Yeah, we had a Toledo Storm. It was that way. It was about an hour away. They'd throw octopus on the ice. It stunk. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a blast.
It was.
Yeah. We had the...
That probably doesn't factor into college sports, because franchises like the Ohio State Buckeyes and Michigan Wolverines and, I mean, the Horseshoe, which is the Ohio State Stadium, holds around 110,000, where I think the Lightning Stadium's 8, maybe. So, yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, and the Dallas Cowboys is like 125,000.
No.
80. Really?
No, the college stadiums are much larger.
Really?
I think the Horseshoe, the Big House, and
yeah, you're right, 80,000.
The Horseshoe, the Big House, and then like those stadiums are enormous.
You know what I'm thinking? The Dallas Cowboys Stadium. They were talking about doing a UFC there, and they said they were going to have 125,000 people, but that's with the octagon and putting seating on the field.
Yeah, that might work.
Probably come close.
Man, you do that at the Horseshoe, you'd have 170,000 people, 160,000.
Yeah, people love that college football, man. I have a buddy here he's from Ohio, and he went to Ohio State, and he goes back for two games a year, flies up there just to go to the games.
Yeah, it's
like makes a whole weekend of it.
We have two NFL teams that are terrible. So, yeah, my team, the Browns, has never even been to the Super Bowl. So we had to root for something, and we root for our Ohio State Buckeyes.
I think that's
wearing a Colorado buff shirt.
That's kind of what ruined it for me, because I was a Giants fan. I saw them win the Super Bowl twice, and I'm like, well, what now? Do I root for them to win every year? Like,
yes.
Nah. Like, I saw it twice. They beat Tom Brady twice in both really dramatic games. Like, it was never... Those games are never going to be topped.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, I was I played fantasy football. I was big into the NFL, watched not every college game, but I'd watch, you know, three or four on every Saturday. And since I started watching the UFC, if it's not the Buckeyes, I'm not watching. So you're not saying you're not missing much. It's just the excitement is much better in our chosen sport.
Yeah. Yeah. A football game is like, that's half your day. So that's like 3.5-4 hours. That's, you know, if it's a daytime game, that you're not doing anything else. And then you always end up watching the game before or after. And so it would end up being like an entire Sunday.
Yeah. Kind of like an entire Saturday evening for UFC fights.
So that's perfect for me, because like my wife and daughter are in bed by the time the main cards start. So I'm not really like missing out on any family time by watching sports, or I don't have to stress about missing a game or anything if I'm out with them.
Yeah, I guess the replayability of MMA is much, and if you miss the card, you can watch the whole thing in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And a football game, like if I miss the game, like I'm not going to sit down and watch a game that already happened. There's no chance. I would never. Even at the height of my fandom, when I was watching all the games, if I missed one, I missed it. I would just look up the scores. All right, let's talk about St. Louis here. So there's a lot of interesting matchups on this card. And does the main card start with Waldo Cortez Acosta or is it Alex Caceres?
Nope. Waldo.
All right. Where's Waldo? All right. So Waldo Cortez Acosta against Robles d'Espagne. I think I got that one right. Took high school French. Robles is undefeated. Cortez Acosta, 11-1. I would imagine the odds are pretty close on this one.
Not really.
Oh, well, what are they?
Salsa Boys, which is Waldo, is plus 200 versus Robles is minus 245.
Okay, that's a bigger spread than I would have thought. So Robles is a monster. He comes from Cuba. He's had one fight in the UFC, and it was an 18-second knockout of Josh Parisian. So here's a guy with very little experience. I mean, he's got five fights, all first-round finishes. He's only got like 6 minutes of MMA experience. That's it. His longest fight was his first fight. It went 4 minutes and 54 seconds. After that, 12 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, and 18 seconds. So this guy is just a murderer. But you got to wonder, like, he's not going to finish everybody in the first round. So what's going to happen when he gets to that second round? And, you know, is Waldo Cortez capable of dragging him into that deep water? His only loss is a unanimous decision loss to Marcos Rogério de Lima. So it's hard to, and he's got a lot more experience. It's hard to imagine Waldo Cortez getting finished in the first round so quick. So I imagine it's got to go into the second round. And then what do we see out of a guy who's never been to a second round and who only has five fights becomes a question. So that's why I'm confused by the odds a little bit. I would think it would be a little closer taking all that into consideration. But what are you thinking here with this one?
Well, four of the five fights we're about to pick are, I view, the same situation. It's just two guys seeing who can land first. This card has a bit, like, it could go real short. So really, a lot of these fights are just picking, like, one, I don't know enough about them. I'm just playing the numbers. I was thinking the same thing. I even think Waldo had a boxing career. Like, he has more fights than just his 12 fights.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 200, I'm taking him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad bet. I mean, I can see why D'Espagne is the favorite. You know, 5-0, five knockouts, all pretty quick. But, you know, he's getting in there with a guy who has a lot more experience. Waldo has a few amateur fights as well, and he's never been finished. So I would think the fight would go. Do you have the over under on this fight? Do they have odds on that?
Yeah, of course.
Because I would think this fight at least goes into the second round, you know, given the resume of Waldo. You know, I just don't see a quick knockout like that. I mean, I know Robles has crazy power.
It's three and a half.
Three and a half?
Yeah.
How's that? Wait. The over-under?
Is that three, like, and a half?
How many rounds?
Yeah.
No. It's only a three-round fight.
No, it's a round and a half.
Oh, okay.
+180 for over.
So what do you get if you bet Waldo and the over.
I don't know if you can do that. Over $1 pays $2. I'm wrong. Yep. Over Waldo.
So here's what you do. Put $1 on Waldo in the over. And then put another $1 on Robelis in the under.
$2 pays $5.80.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Awkward matchup here. Two guys who have very unique styles, and one comes from his body type, the other just comes from his unorthodox style. So we have Alex Caceres and Sean Woodson. So Sean Woodson is so intriguing to me because here's a guy, he's built at 6'2". He's taller than 6'2", at 145 pounds. Out of his last three fights, he's had two really close decisions. A win over Charles Jourdain and a draw against Luis Saldana. He also has a decision win over Dennis Bazukia. Caceres is so inconsistent. And it's hard to bet on guys who are inconsistent. He's coming off a decision loss to Giga Chikadze. But he definitely has the experience advantage here. So what are the odds and who do you got?
Plus 180 to Bruce Leroy and minus 218 for Woodson. This is the fight that I don't know what's going to happen. It's the outlier on what's all the other card fights on the main card. I like Bruce Leroy because he likes to be at range and land those sweet time shots, but I don't know how that works. I zoned out for a minute, but I don't know if you already talked about it, but how does that work when you have such a tall dude? And then furthermore, he's good on the Bruce Leroy is good on the ground, but I know when you're grappling somebody, even if the skill level of grappling isn't the best, the difficulty goes up very quickly when they have that much range on you, you know.
Yes and no. It kind of depends on them. So if they're real lanky and they have long limbs, sometimes it can be easier to grab a limb. And if you get to the neck, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's what we saw with Jalen Turner, but I was thinking more about, especially with sweeps. Whenever I'm trying to elevate or sweep somebody and they're, taller, it just makes much more issues.
That's why you got to use wrestling and end up on top. Hmm. If you end up on top of a taller, lankier person, it doesn't really matter. As far as height, height is not an advantage for wrestling, because to have effective wrestling, what you need to do is get underneath the hips, and it's easier to do against a taller person. I would prefer to grapple a taller person. I don't often have this problem of trying to wrestle someone that's my size or smaller. But the difficulty becomes it's a longer way down to get under the hips. So you have to change your level more so than you do against a taller person. The problem can be if someone is really long-limbed, the problem can be closing the distance without, taking some shots. But, Caceres, moves his head pretty well. He's got some slick takedowns, like you said, and he's pretty good on the ground. So I think he's definitely got the advantage there. But Sean Woodson is really awkward. It's going to be hard to close the distance on a guy like that because he uses all of his weapons really well to keep people out of range. So it's an interesting matchup. If Caceres is able to close the distance, and and get in on the hips of Sean Woodson, I don't think he'll have much trouble with him at all on the ground.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Sean Woodson on this one.
Yeah. Well, the opposite point would be Sean Woodson is going to be hard to get in close on. And he could just also Alex Caceres could just decide to keep it a stand-up fight. And we've seen that from him in the past as well, where he might have had a grappling advantage and chose not to use it. So, yeah, Sean Woodson, not a bad pick. All right, moving on. Diego Ferreira, 18-5 against Mataus Rebecki, who is 19-1. I would imagine Rebecki is a slight favorite, but tell me what it really is.
He's a huge favorite at -500 versus +380.
Okay. So he's got one loss, and that was almost 10 years ago. And he's been on a pretty good tear. Submitted Roosevelt Roberts, but he hasn't fought since November of last year. Before that, he knocked out Luik Radzabov. All right, so he's had 3 fights in the UFC, 4 if you count the Contender Series. Let me just see what Ferreira has been up to. Ferreira, 39 years old. He knocked out Michael Johnson in his last fight, but that was almost a year ago, May 20th, 2023. And before that, he had 3 straight losses. And now 39 years old. So he's pretty much the lamb being led to slaughter here by this Polish wrecking machine.
Yeah.
So I imagine you're taking the favorite in this one.
Yeah, I don't know enough about these guys to change what the bet makers. I'm actually thinking about not even betting on this fight and putting a dollar, moving that dollar to back to Bruce Leroy on a sub or a knockout. That's what
I'll allow that. What do you guys think? Should we allow Matt to use his dollars in that way?
+1200 for the knockout or +750 for the submission?
I think the submission is more likely.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. So we're gonna do that. We're gonna call that the switcheroo. We gotta get a sound clip for the switcheroo, but that's what we're gonna do.
We gotta get you know who Mills Lane is?
Yeah, of course.
Mills Lane, former famous boxing referee, then became a judge, like a celebrity judge. And his famous line was, "I'll allow it."
Yeah, celebrity death match.
Yeah. Yeah. So get the Mills Lane clip and I'll allow it. All right. The next one, geez, flip a coin. Alonzo Menifield and Carlos Ullberg, I think. Like, somebody's getting knocked out in this fight, and I have no fucking idea who it's going to be.
Yeah, all of my picks will be going all by knockout from now on the rest of the card.
Okay, fair enough. So who do you got?
I'm going to take Menifield.
Tell me the odds first.
Menifield is +225. Ullberg is -278. But we're going to add the booster of... by knockout, +450.
So you're taking Menifield by knockout?
That's not as good as a gain as I thought. Yeah, fuck it.
All right.
I mean, it's not going to. Is this fight going to the end?
See,
this one might actually have the most chance.
If it goes past like a round and a half, it's probably going to go the distance.
Okay, let's take Menifield.
Both of these guys, Both of these guys are going to be gassed after the first round because they're both going to be swinging for the fences in there. Neither of them are known for their cardio. Yeah, I would say if it's under a round and a half, somebody's getting knocked out for sure. Co-main event, hometown boy Joaquin Buckley almost got his wish. He wanted a headline in St. Louis, but co-main event, you know, to Derek Lewis, nothing to shake a feather at.
Well, if it was up to Derek Lewis, he would have got the main event.
Why, Derek Lewis didn't want the main event?
Yeah, that's what he told him at his press interview. They asked him about that, and he's like, "Well, the fight ain't happened yet. He can take it if he wants it. I don't want it."
Derek Lewis is just hilarious, and I don't think he even means to be.
No, yeah, I think he was dead serious.
Yeah, I mean,
he said nope. He says none of you guys want to see me in the fourth and fifth round either. Like, no one wants to see that. He's like, well, somehow I have 11 main events.
Because people want to hear what he has to say. People want to hear about the temperature of his testicles.
Imagine if once he retires, they put him at the same table with, Din Thomas. And they just cut to get, you know, one fight they'll get Din Thomas's commentary. The other time they just ask Derek Lewis.
Din Thomas, who's coached multiple world champions, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, complete technician, like a true analyst, and Derek Lewis, who would basically be like the Snoop Dogg commentary.
Yeah, but that was too much. We don't need the commentator. We just need to, like in a boring fight, they just need to cut to Derek Lewis for 15 seconds.
Yeah. It would be like on Family Guy when they would cut to the weatherman and he'd be like, "It's gonna rain."
Yeah.
And that would be cut back. That would be Derek Lewis. He needs to knock him out.
Yeah.
And that would be it. You wouldn't get the technical breakdown that you get from Din Thomas. Din Thomas is like, "Well, the foot positioning of you know, Joaquin Buckley, he needs to keep his foot to the outside. He keeps letting him get the inside foot control. And he keeps stepping to the left too much. He needs to take a half a step to the right." And Derek Lewis would just be like, "Needs to fuck him up."
Yeah, he needs to knock him out.
Yeah. Fucking kill him. All right. So what are the odds with Buckley and Ruzabayev?
Buckley is -130. Ruzabayev, +110.
Oh, okay. So, who are you picking?
That's not the way you thought it was the other way, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought Buckley would be a slight favorite.
Yeah, he is -130.
You said +130.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. So I'm taking Ruzibov.
Well, that's a horse of a different color. All right, taking the underdog here.
I don't like fighters when they fight in their hometown, mm-hmm. even though I really did appreciate how he got this fight. Like, that's cool. But, and then I also have my rule about the names in V.
That's fair.
And Ruzibayev is actually one of the guys I have a high hopes into making a title run. Like, this guy, I think he needs to figure out what weight division he is. He's fought in four different weight divisions in his career, but I'm taking a lot of underdogs in this.
Yeah, tonight. He's huge. I mean, he 6'5" and fighting at 170, and it's not like he's a skinny 6'5". You know.
Yeah, it's weird too because Buckley's moving down. Did he move down this fight or was it last fight? Is this his second fight at welterweight or his first?
Let me see. I can check real quick. His last fight was against Vicente Luque. So yeah. Second fight.
Okay, so this is the second one. This guy's coming down. Give me the European.
So I'll give you this. Lock in Ruzibayev. I'll give you the opportunity to change your bet after the weigh-ins, though.
Okay.
Because that's going to be telling. how both of these guys look after the weigh-ins. I mean, Buckley, I don't think has ever had a problem making welterweight. He just looks so big. Ruzboyev, I don't think will miss weight, but I will be interested to see how he looks on the scale. Because he's a thick dude. All right. The main event brought to you by Campo Bravo Tequila. Not a sponsor, but whatever I say here on out will be brought to you by Campo Bravo Tequila. Additive free tequila. Find it at your local liquor store.
Or yo, don't. This is worse than some of the shots I've had to take. That's saying something.
All right. Black Beast, Derek Lewis, getting in there against Rodrigo Nascimento. 11-1. So he's got less than half the experience of Derek Lewis. Submission artist, you could say, although he has not had a submission in the UFC since 2020, and that was over Dontell Mays. And right after that, he was knocked out by Chris Daukaus, who is no longer in the UFC. Outside of that, it's been all decisions. Derek Lewis only defeated once by submission, I believe. And that was against Daniel Cormier, was it not? Oh, no, he was also submitted by Sergey Spivak. Huh?
I don't know how the hell you try to submit Derek Lewis. It's going to be a tough night.
Well,
but I'm also thinking from a 160-pound perspective. But
you know, Daniel Cormier did it, and Sergey Spivak did it. But you know, I think if Chaelton Almeida wasn't able to submit him, then Nascimento is not going to be able to submit him.
If I'm being honest, I don't even know who the hell Nascimento is.
Oh, well.
I mean, I looked him. I watched some his fight on YouTube and looked at his record. I don't know. The odds are -162 for Derek Lewis, +136 for Nascimento. If you go to Derek Lewis by knockout, it doesn't even help you much. It's -135. The only way you can make some money is you start picking Derek Lewis by knockout in the round.
Hmm. All right. So why don't you do that?
All right. Let's think. It's going to be one or two, right?
Could be. I mean, remember Derek Lewis knocked out Volkov with like 1 second left in the fight or whatever it was in the fifth round.
Okay. The fifth round is +5,000.
I like that number.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But it's your dollar.
Fourth is 2,800. Third is 1,400. Second, 600. And then only +180 for the first. So we're not going to do that. Let's go fourth.
No. Okay.
No. Second.
All right. Whatever you decide, I'm here for it.
Second.
All right, Derek Lewis, second round knockout. What are the odds on Nascimento by decision, by the way? I mean, by submission, sorry.
I lost my page.
There we go.
By submission, +350.
Okay. So, I feel like if he wins, it's going to be by submission. So, I would look to hedge on that.
Okay, you want to make that your pick of the week? You're 0-1.
I'm more than 0-1.
Well, but officially, you're 0-1. And I think we should. And you get the pick of the litter here. You can think about it if you want to. Run over a little news. There's not much. And then come back. We can circle back. Mm. I mean, circle back.
Yeah.
Back in 2 minutes.
Yeah. I want to take a look at a couple of these prelim fights. So let's circle back to
your
that.
Boy, Hooper's fighting.
Yeah, Chase Hooper is getting in there with Slava Claus. Vyacheslav Borshishev, I believe is how you pronounce it. Chase Hooper is concerning to me just because he's so young and he's taken so much damage already. You know, 24 years old, and he's been in some wars and been knocked out in the UFC. But you know, he's on a 2-fight win streak. He's got really good jiu-jitsu. Slava Claus can crack though. So there's that. Do you have odds handy on these?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see.
Hooper's plus 120.
Okay.
Opposite minus 142.
Interesting. And this fight is at lightweight, so Chase Hooper's already moved up in weight. All right. Terrence McKinney's always entertaining, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love the fact that he knocked out my buddy, the Steamroller, in like 7 seconds, but the guy's entertaining. I mean, he's explosive. You know, there's always a good chance you're going to see a highlight reel knockout when that kid gets in there. However, he's getting in there with Esteban El Gringo Ribovic, the Argentinian who only has one loss, never been finished. And he's coming off of a unanimous decision win over Camuela Kirk, former Billy Q victim there. So that's an interesting fight. What are the odds on that one?
Plus 140 for McKinney, minus 166. I like that. I like that plus 140 on McKinney.
Yeah. Yeah. That's worth sprinkling a little on.
You know what? I'm going to cancel my Bush Leroy and add McKinney and show him some love.
Okay.
You know, that is an interesting point you bring that up about Frivola, because I don't know. I like his social media. I like just when I see him in interviews so much that I forget about what he did to Frivola.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of respect for Frivola as well. If he was like a dick about it, then I would feel differently, but it seems like they're cool. So I guess I'm okay with him.
He's got a really funny Instagram account.
Does he? Oh, I'll have to check it out.
It's a Black Beast 2.0. You know, Black Beast doesn't do his thing anymore. So follow Terrence McKinney for any people almost dying.
All right. I'll take a look. The last one I'm interested in is Tabitha Ricci and Tisha Pennington. So what kind of odds we have on this one?
I don't see a Tisha Pennington on this list.
Is it Tisha Torres?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if she legally changed her name or not, but SureDog has her as Tisha Pennington.
Well, there might be some controversy here because DraftKings has her as Tisha Torres. Plus 144 on Tisha, and minus 135 on Tabitha Ricci.
Yeah, that's about what I thought it would be. I imagine that Baby Shark would have been a favorite. You know, she's coming off a loss, but if you look at her losses, so she's only lost to Manon Fiorot, who's pretty close to fighting for the title, and her last fight, she lost a really close decision to Lupita Godinez, who is also a very elite fighter. Now, Tisha Torres or Pennington, whatever she's going by legally, is a tough fighter. You know, she had a close decision loss in her last fight as well against Mackenzie Dern. And if you look at her record, it's not great. But look at the gauntlet she had to go through. So she had four losses in a row. But if you look at these losses from 2018 to 2019, Jessica Andrade, former champion. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, former champion. Wiley Zhang, current champion. And Marina Rodriguez. All losses by decision. So she went the distance with all of them. And then split decision loss to Mackenzie Dern. She also has a loss to Rose Namajunas, former champion. So outside, she's never been finished. And outside of Mackenzie Dern and Marina Rodriguez, she's lost to only former champions. So if you look at her record, it doesn't really speak to the toughness and the ability. However, I think Tabitha Ricci is going to have enough to get the job done in this one.
Yeah, I think either name is acceptable because her Instagram account lists both names. Tisha Torres is her official account, but then she lists her name as Tisha Pennington, so she seems to be cool with either.
All right. I mean, maybe she's waiting till she retires to change it because, you know, it's like that thing, like if a female celebrity gets married, they don't change their name just because that's the name they're known by.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, it seems, as long as she doesn't get offended, it's fine. It seems fine with me. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, she won't. Someone else will get offended for her, but
yeah.
She won't. It's, I always say getting offended is a sport of privilege.
So there's really no news this week, except there's some recent news. A man named Art Jimerson,
known as UFC One Love. Art Jimerson.
He passed away at the age of 60.
Oh, I was hoping, man.
You could tell me what was up with old One Glove.
Yeah, so there was just some confusion there. It wasn't like he thought he was going to have an advantage or anything. So Art Jimerson was actually a decent journeyman boxer, and he was in the UFC One tournament. And, you know, they had the rules meeting and they said, you know, they said it was no holds barred and you could kind of wear what you wanted. So he was a boxer and he thought he didn't want to break his hand. So he would wear a boxing glove on one hand, and you know, it didn't work out for him.
And yeah, I watched that before we started. I watched the Royce Gracie match.
Yeah, yeah, Royce manhandled him.
As he did with most people he encountered at that time.
Yeah, and as most jiu-jitsu black belts would do against most boxers in a mixed martial arts fight,
especially in the early 90s.
Yeah, when people didn't know what jiu-jitsu was.
Yeah.
And how to use it effectively. Now, you know, I read somewhere somebody was saying that at that time, Royce Gracie was probably the equivalent of a modern-day blue belt. But, you know, if you put a modern-day blue belt against someone who had never seen jiu-jitsu before, or, you know, didn't even know it existed, that's probably what it would look like. But man, that's terrible to hear about Art Jimerson. 60 years old, not very old. What did he die of?
We don't know. The information is not out.
Damn. Because, you know, he had become like a good sport about, you know, getting ragged on for the one boxing glove thing at UFC One. And, you know, I've heard Big John McCarthy tell stories about Art Jimerson and say that, you know, he was actually a cool guy. And that's a pretty good bar to go by. Man, that's really sad to hear. Well, let's let's pour one out for Art Jimerson.
Some bad liquor for you, Mr. Jimerson.
Sorry, Art. I got cheap tequila. He's got bad whiskey. But we're raising a glass.
It's a thought.
So cheers to you, Art Jimerson. Damn, do you have any good news? We're not going to end on that, are we?
Michael Pierre has already got it on the books again for USC Louisville on June 8th against Delitze. Roman Delitze.
Ooh, Michel Pereira?
Yeah, Michel Pereira.
Against Roman Delitze, that's a fun fight. That's a really fun fight. I like that a lot.
And then the only other headline that stuck out to me, it's just because it hasn't happened yet, is the headline was UFC events never returning to the Las Vegas Sphere.
Yeah, they're going to be one and done there, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it must be costing them a fucking fortune if they're going, it's not going to work.
Yeah, that, and I think it's going to be pretty awkward to pull off.
I don't see how. I mean, I've never been there. I can imagine what it looks like inside a big screen. I don't know what you put behind you. I don't know.
They're going to figure it out. I mean, say what you want about Dana White, but he's got vision. I don't know why I said Dana White and my phone just started recording me, like Siri picked it up. That was interesting. But he's got vision, man. So I'll end with a question, and it's a question that I asked on the episode on Monday night. You saw the roast of Tom Brady, right?
Oh yeah.
So my thought is we need to do a roast within the MMA community. So immediately my thoughts were Dana White would be an obvious choice and Joe Rogan would be an obvious choice. Who would you like to see roasted between those two, or do you have a third option?
I think it's Dana. I don't even know if Joe would participate. He's not a roast comic. It's not his style. I've heard him mention many times that he doesn't partake in it when it goes on in the green room, which apparently is a big thing with comedians. I could see him maybe taking part in it, but Dana would be better because if it's going to be a UFC roast, they need to have fighters, and it's easier to. Well, let's be real. What are they going to make fun of Rogan?
Oh, I'm sure they could find something. You don't think if they have Tony Hinchcliffe on there writing the jokes, who knows Joe Rogan inside and out, he could write some killer lines.
I mean, they could make fun of him. They could make roast work because people have things to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, and Dana White, it doesn't take Dana White's best friend to pick things to make fun of him for.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you think Joe Rogan's like untouchable? You don't think people could find things to pick on him for?
I mean, you could make fun of his fanny pack. You could make fun of.
I don't think they would. I don't. That would be the problem with Joe Rogan is because so many of these comedians are up his ass that they wouldn't want to say anything bad about him. And the same with the UFC fighters. Even if he had some UFC fighters on there to roast him, like nobody really has bad things to say about Joe Rogan.
Within the comedy
and MMA spaces, everybody outside of those spaces has a lot of bad things to say about Joe Rogan.
Yeah, but none of them are true or even funny to make fun of.
I mean, mm-hmm.
I think it's a.
So it's Dana. Is there anybody else it could possibly be?
If you're trying to get huge success, it's Connor.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, Connor would be on stage all coked up.
Connor wouldn't put himself in that situation unless he approved like every joke.
And I don't think so, Will. I think he's more of a fun, more of a sport than you think. I mean, I think if you say, "Hey, Connor, we're gonna host an event in L.A. and it's all about you," he's like, "All right, I'm gonna have Bugatti make me a new coupe. I'm gonna, you know, if you entice him with diamonds and lore and it's gonna be sponsored by Proper 12 and." It might be more fun too, because Connor would be. Imagine at the end when he goes up and gets to roast everybody. If he's got his wits about him, he could do pretty well.
Yeah, he would have. He would come up there with loaded guns. If we're doing fighters, I would think Sean O'Malley would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But Connor would be the. I mean, we're just talking the best ideas, and it would be Connor Dana. But yeah, Sean O'Malley or Strickland might be two or three.
If they roast Dana, do they have Brendan Schaub on the dais?
Yeah, he can host it.
He can host it. All right. That would be cool.
Brendan would definitely have to be a part of it no matter what, because he's a comedian and he can. You know, he can take there's plenty of things that go back on him for.
Oh yeah, everybody who stood up there would roast Brendan. All right, if you had to pick a former fighter to get roasted, who would you go with?
I'm gonna go with Mayhem Miller.
How can you roast that guy though? Because he's just insane.
I don't know. I've been paying a lot of attention to him, and I just want him to get any credit he can.
But Tito Ortiz would be a good one.
Tito Ortiz would be fun, especially with that. Did you see the mic drop?
Yeah, he hit himself in the head with the microphone. Yeah.
Fuck.
He's such a fucking bonehead, man.
That made me belly laugh. That was great. Mic drop.
Mark Fellows says, John Jones roast. John Jones roasts himself.
Yeah, that just wouldn't be fun. He's not funny.
Yeah, he's not funny. And it's just, it would be too easy because he would get so pissed.
Even a Patty the Batty would work better than John Jones, in my opinion. Because you got to have somebody that's a personality. Like,
he's a personality, honest, but I feel like Patty the Batty would let things roll off too easily. Like, you wouldn't give good reactions.
I mean, I'm not saying that's my pick. That's just a and better then than John.
You'd have to have him with his rebuttal at the end in that Liverpool accent. Nobody would know what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah. Another good one. It would definitely not be popular. Like, it wouldn't get a lot of eyeballs, but I would love it. It would just be Ray Longo.
Yeah, Ray Longo would be good.
The roast of Ray Longo.
But it's hard. Like, you know, it's hard to do that.
I would only want to see that if it was with his fighters doing it.
Because the thing with the roasts, in order for them to work, people have to be punching up, right? Like, you have Tom Brady and you have football players who were less successful than him roasting him, and comedians that a lot of people aren't familiar. They're not A-list celebrities, so they're all punching up. If you have Ray Longo, you have a 60-something-year-old man who's just coming off a hip surgery, who's not really well-known outside of MMA or elsewhere, and then you have a bunch of people making fun of him. That doesn't work.
If it was all his teammates, it would work.
Maybe.
But like I said, that's more.
You're talking about a smaller. So the way they used to do these roasts, they used to go on regularly, but only like the big ones would get televised. But they would do smaller ones. I would love to do a roast. If anybody out there has connections to get me invited to one, Yeah, I would live for that. Speaking of the roast, Mark Fellows asks, Bill, as an MMA coach, have you reached out to Giselle via DM this week? So I did enjoy all the jabs at Tom Brady for, like, why'd you let your wife start doing jiu-jitsu? And, you know, we're all well aware of, you know, the sexual predators that are involved in the jiu-jitsu community, or at least people who do jiu-jitsu are, anyway. I feel like this goes on at every jiu-jitsu gym in the country. But, yeah, I mean, whatever, she got her purple belt out of it. So, and what'd she get it in, 2 years?
Yeah. I should DM her too, just figure out how that works.
Yeah, how'd you get that purple belt, Giselle? Well, she is anyway. Brazilian, so it's in her DNA.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite joke of the whole roast.
Which
now,
one?
Now I know why Dana's here, because he knows how to screw a Brazilian out of half his purse.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I got to go.
All right. Well, the rest of you can go to reaper1.co and grab yourself some MMA on the Rocks merchandise. We have Over the Top, Under the Influence t-shirts, tank tops, and hoodies. As always, the direct links to all three of those products are right in the show notes. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on your entire order, whether you are buying our merchandise or not. Tonight's opinions were brought to you by Campo Bravo Tequila and Element Sparkling Electrolyte Water. So the two of those combined, pretty much an instant margarita in your mouth. So go forth and enjoy those. Enjoy UFC St. Louis. And I will possibly see you guys on Sunday, though it is Mother's Day. So it kind of depends on what the wife wants to do that
take
day.
It off.
Well, it depends. If she has a really good day and goes to bed early, I'll do an episode.
Fair enough.
Because if that's what she chooses to do. But if she wants to hang out on Mother's Day, we're hanging out. If I don't talk to you all, a very happy Mother's Day to you and all of your mothers. And that's all we got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.